This is American Fashion Podcast. I'm Charles Beckwith, here with Kathy Sheppes.
Hi, everyone.
And our guest in the studio is Jordana Guimarães.
Yes.
Who is one of the founders of Fash Innovation, which is a conference here in New York. And it usually happens during Fashion Week, but that may be changing. Hi, Jordana. How are you?
Hi, how are you? Thanks so much for having me today.
Sure. Can you tell us a little bit about your conference and kind of where the idea for it came from?
Yeah, so Fashion Ovation is a full-day panel conference, red carpet also during Fashion Week, which may change. And it takes place in New York to start. And really what we wanted to do is intersect the fashion and technology industries with many conversations taking place that are really relatable nowadays, such as women empowerment, sustainability, new textiles, inclusivity in fashion, and the list goes on. So we launched our first event 2018, last September, and we were very fortunate just putting it all together. We actually put the whole thing together in 2 months, which was insane. We came up with the idea, myself and my husband, July of 2018, and the first conference took place in September. And really where it came from, my husband has been in entrepreneurship his entire life, let's call it, even though he's 33, but since college. And he worked at Endeavor, which is a really well-known not-for-profit for businesses that are scaling and want to internationalize. And they do mentorships and stuff like that. And it's all companies with innovation. And me, I've been freelancing in public relations and marketing and fashion for the last 15 years. And so when we met 4 years ago and he moved to the U.S. 3 years ago from Brazil, there's an event at Endeavor called CEO Summit, where it's panel talks about entrepreneurship, innovation, technology. And so he came to the U.S. and not really speaking that much of the language and wanting to do something right away, he said, why don't we do an event, kind of like the Endeavor CEO Summit? And then I said, yeah, but there's so many events like this in the U.S. You know, people do panel talks all the time. He's like, what about if we bring fashion into what I do and mix our two worlds together? Would it make sense? And I said, it makes perfect sense, especially nowadays where technology is playing such a huge factor in the fashion industry and so many different intersects. And so we just put an email together with the idea and a body of email, no website, nothing really to show, which was crazy. And we started cold emailing people like the founder or the partner at IBM, the founder of Shopify. And we remember the first day that we started cold emailing these people, within 3 hours, the founder of Shopify writes back and he says, I'm in. And we literally looked at each other and we're like, crap, it worked. What is he in? So it was really one of those moments where we're like, wow, the responses are coming quicker than we really expected. And we had 2 months to put it all together and we said, okay, I guess we're going to do this. And we just kind of took it day by day and here we are today. So it's pretty crazy.
So how did it work? You know, I didn't go to the conference, Charles. I know that you did. So yeah. I guess...
I went to
no, I
so
can't
far.
Interview you, Charles, but I kind of want to know really content-wise what made it maybe more stimulating for entrepreneurs and such.
So I think first is the fact that when we pitched the conference to have the speakers come on board that we want, we really let them know that it is very boutique, that they are speaking to a small group of people. And I think a lot of people nowadays, because of the big trend of people wanting to feel connected to their purchase, right? And wanting to feel like they really know the people behind a brand when making a purchase. And because a lot of these bigger brands and companies want to get in front of these millennials that are looking to feel that connection, I feel like that was the selling point because they are speaking to a very small group. And then we also make it to where the conversations, no one is pitching anything on stage. The conversations really are organic in the sense that we'll put three or four people on stage together that can all speak about something and we just kind of let them take it over. So we don't have, you know, go on stage and talk about what Shopify does or what Levi's does. It's more, here's a topic that we feel you guys can discuss. And because normally these people that we put on stage together wouldn't have been, you know, in conversing, like putting NASA and Tommy Hilfiger and these people that normally wouldn't speak, but when they do, they see how much commonality is there and how they should be speaking more often if they want to get to that next stage in their business. So I think, and because I don't feel like there's anyone really doing that intersection right now at an event, and bringing in the fashion and the entertainment and the red carpet component. Normally it's either a conference or a red carpet show, like you don't have both together. So I think people are just intrigued by that.
Who do you intend to be the audience of these events?
So ideally, we would want to have startups, companies that are scaling, or traditional companies that are scared to step into the innovation pond, technology pond, or more in depth if they're already doing something. That would be our ideal audience. Of course, everybody wants to have press there because that's how you get the word out. But it's also interesting because I'm finding nowadays that the press industry, because the, you know, print magazines and that whole part of the press industry is dying a little bit. I feel like a lot of the companies like WWD, Business of Fashion, people that we would want to have there, they're kind of doing their own panel talk events, and there's a lot of that going on. So it kind of makes it, I don't know if sometimes when we invite them to come, because so far we haven't had them attend, but we're trying, but they're interested, they're watching, they ask us for the live stream, so, but they won't come. So I don't know if in a way it's starting to be a little bit of competition because the panel talk space is getting inundated.
Well, you are doing it during New York Fashion Week.
Yeah,
and,
true.
And they have very limited resources. I think BOF has 4 people on the ground in New York.
So there, yeah.
And
could be another, yeah.
Women's Wear Daily just, people keep leaving. It's scary. Yeah. Like the amount of coverage that they're able to do is kind of shrinking, which is,
yeah,
it's frustrating. We need more fashion press. We need more voices.
Yeah.
And it seems like every couple of weeks we get less and less.
Yeah. And I feel like there should be more fashion tech, right? I feel like when you look something up on the internet, fashion tech related, you really have to dig and search. And that's why I'm excited to hopefully keep expanding it, taking amazing feedback such as the ones that you had for me, because I feel like that's the only way that we're going to grow. And also because, you know, my husband does come from entrepreneurship, I do come from fashion, having people like you in technology or knowing the technology industry and the realm of it all, I feel like getting feedback is the only way that we can really put something together where it's going to be something really, where people will really need something like this, you know, rather than just do an event to do an event. And that's what we're excited about, is that every event that we're doing, I mean, we've done two, but just getting the feedback and bettering it, I think there's a really good potential for longevity with what we're doing.
You've had some very interesting speakers. I love this guy, Bohr, who came from Paris. His thing is called Buy Bohr, and he does textile innovation. He supplies textiles to a lot of big fashion companies.
Yeah.
And the stuff he was talking about, the engineering of textiles and creating new materials, was fascinating.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I liked him a lot.
Yeah, he's really great. And actually, we found him because what we do when we start to research who we want to have on stage, we do a little bit of a mix. We always want to have the innovators and the startups and people that are doing things that maybe the mass doesn't know about. But then we also want to bring the populars, because mixing those two is how they're going to start kind of collaborating. And what we do is we go on like Fast Company, Vogue, CFDA. We see who's getting the awards, who's starting something new. And that's how we kind of research, you know, let's contact it. And I'm learning so much. I mean, every day. So Bore, when we came across him, I saw all the work that he did with Nike and, you know, a ton of other companies. And then I saw also his vision for the future, which was so amazing. I wish we could have an entirely other panel just about his vision, because he didn't even go into it that much as he really told us about, which is so fascinating.
We've been messaging on Instagram. So.
Yeah, he's but he's phenomenal. He's amazing. Yeah.
So your audience, I know, I just have to clarify. So you said targeted at millennials, but also are they fashion and tech startups as well as mid-sized businesses that, you know, that are more entrepreneurial in nature?
I think, so when I say the millennials, a big part of me, not necessarily my husband, but who I am, I love to inspire. Like it's something that I've always loved to do. And I started recently like speaking at universities, and it's such like, I get out of there and I'm like, oh, it's like as if though I drank a bottle of tequila and my favorite song is playing. That's the feeling that I get from speaking to students. So when I say the millennial, I think that people that are studying at FIT, you know, Parsons and any other school, but in fashion or in tech, I think having them attend these conferences and be able to shake the hands of these VPs and CEOs and founders that normally they wouldn't be able to because they're usually in much larger platforms, I think that that's really exciting to me. So I think having a mix of the millennials and the startups and the scale-ups and the traditional companies that have been around for a long time, having that mix in the audience is really exciting because I think that we can see so many amazing new things come out of that.
Yeah, it's incredibly powerful. So now I have to ask, having NASA, I love that.
Thank you.
And, you know, so what were they talking about related?
So the textiles, a lot of the textiles now that a lot of designers are using for like wrinkle-free and a lot of other things, it comes from NASA, like a Ministry of Supply. We had Jihan there, who's the founder of Ministry of Supply, and him using, you know, having suits that you can wear, throw into like a washing machine and then put in a dryer, take it out and wear it and don't take it to a dry cleaner. That's amazing. And it all comes from NASA-inspired textiles. And then they didn't invent Velcro. Like a lot of people think they did, but they made it popular, right? So a lot of things that you start seeing more and more in fashion comes from what they've been doing already for decades and hundreds of years, but just now people are starting to give credit to them for that. So I think it was really interesting to have them on a platform and be able to share that knowledge with people.
That's genius. Really powerful. Yeah, I mean, I feel as if, you know, in fashion, we're often in our own insulated little world.
Very much, yeah.
You know, so even hearing whether it's Google, and I'm sure you're going to try and get Apple. I mean, it just brings so many different levels of influence.
And fashion is a lot of heads down work. Like you're focused on the thing you're doing, and you do that for weeks at a time, and you don't come up for air very often.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so you don't realize how big the world is.
Yeah, and what's new and what you could bring into what you're doing. Yeah.
So you're like a laboratory.
I like that. I never heard of it that way, but that's what I would love. I mean, yeah, for people to experience and want to have new ideas. And it's really cool, too, because the first event we did, the partner at IBM Watson, his panel was in the morning. He stayed till the end of the event. And to see him, it surprised me, and it was super cool to see. But then he came up to me at the end. He said, you know, my daily work is not this fun ever. He's like, I'm usually, you know, it's conferences and he's like, but this was so exciting. And I met so many people doing different things that gave me ideas on what to do at IBM, even though he got these ideas from like startups and people that are doing new things. And that was really cool to hear. And then NASA came up to us at the end and they said, I've learned so much today. The fact that NASA told us they learned so much, we were like, well, mind blown. It was amazing, you know? So those are the things that, like, because obviously being a startup, like, people are always asking us, they're like, so how do you make money? And we're really not right now because it's impossible with a startup, really. But the thing that's exciting for me is just seeing these, like, collaborations and people learning and people getting together. And I don't know, that just drives me. So eventually the money will always come. But for now, it's like my passion is what we do and it's what we enjoy doing. So
you're also passionate about causes. So
super.
How did you weave that into the conference and talk about It Can Be You?
Yeah, thank you. So It Can Be You. So I was born in Brazil, and Brazil has a lot of issues, from governmental issues to poverty and all of that. And I'm very fortunate to have grown up in an affluent family, but that made it even more clear to me the problems that were there, because I would leave my house as a 3, 4, or 5-year-old and leave a penthouse by the beach and walk down the street and see people asking for money and sleeping on the streets. I never understood it, and it really bothered me from a young age. And I remember always asking my dad, like, you know, let's give him a cover, let's give him food, da da da. And as I got older, I always wanted to give back. And I feel like if I'm not giving back to something, what I'm doing, is pointless. And unfortunately, also, I've had a lot of family, like, deal with cancer and terminal illnesses, et cetera. So every event I've done for the last 15 years, whether it was a pop-up or something, I always give back to, FUCK Cancer, to Give Bones for dogs and shelters. I always wanted to give back. But then 2 years ago, I was pregnant with my first daughter. And as soon as I became pregnant and I would walk down the streets and see all the homeless in Manhattan, I said, I have to do something. But what do I know about charities? You know, all I know really is fashion. Then I started thinking about the influencers and how we're always seeing, like what they're eating, what they're doing, who they're wearing, and wanting to copy that when it comes to the millennial state of mind. Then I said, why not use their voices in social media for something that is good? So then I just started, all these ideas started piling in my head, and I said, okay, I'm going to use fashion influencers, create a hashtag on social media, it can be you, have them start sharing things that they do within their communities to give back to homelessness if they do something. If not, have them share a story of some time in their life when they had a really major struggle. Then I said, I want to give out meals to the homeless in Manhattan, sit down with them and find out what happened. And I always talked, it's funny, but I always had this thing of like sitting down with people that were homeless in Brazil or anywhere I would travel and talk to them. They were actually the people that I enjoy talking to most when I went on trips, which is weird to some people, but for me, I learned the most from them. And then I just archived these stories. I used my fashion background to get these influencers as ambassadors. And 2 weeks ago, I self-published my first book titled It Can Be You. And I'm really excited because I was able to take the stories. Each page, you'll see an influencer story, and underneath their story, the story of someone who's homeless today. And it shows you all the similarities, which there are tons, but what separates them is what one person has that the other doesn't in life or a circumstance. And it's just to humanize and give a face to homelessness using fashion, which people would never correlate the two. But when you look at it from that grander perspective, I really feel like it's going to make a difference as far as awareness goes.
That's powerful, really.
Thank
congratulations
you so
on that.
I
so is that so will that continue digitally also? Because I think, you know, it's such a huge problem in the city, and it's been worse, I think.
Yeah.
And I often try to talk, although I don't ask.
Yeah.
I don't ask them how they got there.
Yeah.
I was at because I do work with Save the Garment Center, I'm often downtown when the city is having meetings, and they'll have several meetings as part of the planning commission meeting and that sort of thing. So you sit through it until the Save the Garment Center thing comes up. And one of the presentations was from the Department of Homeless Services. And the scale of the problems that they have to deal with is just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And the homeless that you see on the streets in New York City are the tip of the iceberg, because they've actually housed a lot of people in shelters and hotels and things like that. And they get a lot of the families into hotels, and then they stay in hotels because there aren't really good housing options. Most of the DHS permanent housing is full.
And they've converted a lot of the housing. That was one of the problems also.
And so there, it's a huge issue here in New York City that you don't really get a perspective on just from walking down the street, because you see a part of it. You see a small part of the larger problem.
Yeah. And so what I wanted to do with Fashion Ovation, I feel like since we have this platform of the stage, the first event we gave back to disabilities. So we partnered with Open Style Lab. We had an entire panel where we had people with disabilities speak about what their issues are on a day-to-day basis and how fashion and technology can intersect and help with that. And then the second one was about the homelessness. So we had the founder of Empowerment Plan. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but Veronica Scott, she won the DVF Awards last year. That's how we found her on the internet. And then looking through her story, she's 29. She was a victim of homelessness for many years with her family growing up. And she decided, she came from her mom being an addict and everything else. So she started a company called Empowerment Plan, where she creates winter jackets that turn into sleeping bags for the homeless. and she only hires people from shelters to work for her. She trains them, she gives them a job, she takes them out of the shelter, and she helps them better their lives. And she was on the panel at our this previous event now, which was amazing. And then I'm finding that a lot of other companies too. There's a company called Sophia. What they do is they were tutors in Brazil for English. They came to the U.S. They started giving meals at shelters, and then one day they said, what can we do to really change these people's lives? So now they train them to become tutors online through courses that they teach English to Brazilians or Latin Americans or anything of that sort. And they only hire people from shelters now to work for Sophia. It's incredible. So you see more and more people doing this, and I think through It Can Be You and the Nylon Project, my project, I can give the awareness, but then I would love to be able to sell the books and give all the proceeds to organizations that are doing something to eventually better these people's lives. So that's my goal with the whole thing. And so I love the fact that we can use Fashion Ovation as a platform too.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, so this is...
Where do people find the books? How can our listeners...
So because I just self-published it, I don't want to just put it online on a website because I'm not sure... I want to do it in a way where I can travel around the country and talk about the mission and do book launches. So right now what I'm doing is I'm partnering with companies. One in San Francisco I'm speaking with, Vancouver, New York, and I want them to be able to put together a launch in their hometown and then me come with the book, do a panel talk, invite some of the influencers in the book, and do something more face-to-face for the beginning. And then eventually once the word is really out, then have a website where people can go and buy it.
Okay, so a lot of boutique owners listen to this show. Should they reach out to
you?
Oh,
that would be
you
amazing.
Do it in
yes.
combination with a trunk show?
That would be incredible,
sort of
yes.
Okay, how do they reach you?
So I just created a website talking about the mission in a book called ACL by JoJo, which is my nickname. So AC as in cat, L as in Lori, by BY, JoJo, JoJo.com.
Okay.
And everything is on there.
Great.
That's yeah. great. Wonderful.
Thank you, guys.
I know there's also like a bakery or something in White Plains that I had read about that only hires people that are just coming out of prisons and so on. And it's like you should, you know, collectively.
Yeah.
It becomes more powerful if you hear about more of them and then more companies want to do that.
For sure. Yeah.
Honestly, the homelessness is the way it was in the late 70s.
Yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't be like this now.
No, it shouldn't. This morning I was walking here. Which was, I feel like it's serendipitous when I'm doing these things, how things get thrown at me or in front of me. But there was a gentleman, really well put together. I should have asked his story, but I was running here. But he was asking, just saying, can somebody buy me a tea? I'm really cold. I just want a cup of tea. And everybody ignoring him. That surprises me so much. I don't understand it. Like, I hope that the day that I want a cup of tea, somebody stops. It's a cup of tea. That's all he was asking for. And he was in his 70s. And I asked him, I said, I'll get you the tea. Do you want the money? He's like, no, right here. And he pointed to a diner. So I walked in with him. He had a suitcase and newspapers. And the whole time I was ordering his tea, he was like, God bless this, sir. There's still good people. I'm so happy that you thank you so much. He was so thankful for a cup of tea. And you could tell he's like, my throat just, and I'm like, can I get you food? He's like, it's okay. Somebody gave me this. And he showed me the food that somebody had just given him. He's like, I'm good with the food. I'm like, are you sure I can buy you something? He's like, no, just a cup of tea. Like, you just, you know, made my day, da da da. And it's little things like that, that it just surprises me that it took him yelling a few times for somebody to stop, you know, for that, for a cup of tea, which, yeah. So I don't know.
A lot of these problems are tied to underemployment, not just people who don't have a job, but people who have a job and it doesn't pay enough.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm concerned about how much technology is coming into what we do in every industry. The idea of the sobots that make T-shirts.
Yeah.
There's people who feed their families making T-shirts.
Yeah.
And it's really concerning if we're going to have technology that replaces those people, especially here in the United States.
Yeah.
Where maybe those companies have just started and, you know, 5 years from now, they might replace all of their manual employees with machines. We have to have a solution, a big solution for these problems.
You saying that, my whole body goes into chills because it's so true. I was having a conversation about that with somebody recently. I said technology obviously is great. It does a lot of great, great, great things. But at the same time, it's scary because we can't have it take away humanization of things because it's like a double-edged sword. Like it helps a lot, but then where do you draw the line, right? And I feel like it's not only in fashion and in jobs, but also just in communicating with one another. And that's why, you know, even though people say, oh, you're crazy, Amazon is the best place to just put your book in Amazon. It is. But I feel like I'm missing what I'm really looking for when I'm looking out for brands or for companies is the human connection. I feel like that's something that I'm like hungry for, you know, like with everything, with jobs, with things that I purchased, with friendships, with everything. Like it's just, it's taking over in a way that's kind of scary. I think it's good and it's bad.
But it's that empathy and passion towards wanting to change it. That's what's going to make you successful. Or
Thank
that's
you.
What's already made you successful
Thank
in
you.
Two conferences. It's great.
I'm hoping that, you know, we can,
Jordana, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us. The website
thank
is fashinnovation.nyc for the conference.
Yes.
And what was your personal website again for the
it's
book?
It's A as in Apple, C as in Cat, ACL by Jojo, ACLBYJOJO.com.
Okay, great.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thanks.
To get on the guest list for our live events, go to AmericanFashionPodcast.com and look for the live shows link. AFPOD, AFPOD, is our Twitter handle, and I personally am fashion tech guru on just about everything. On Instagram, we are at American Fashion Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, there's a Be a Guest form on the AmericanFashionPodcast.com website. For comments, our voicemail line is 646-979-8709 or email info@AmericanFashionPodcast.com. American Fashion Podcast is produced by Mouth Media Network, which holds the copyright to this and other episodes of the series, all rights reserved. Subsist, friends. Keep making things beautiful. I'm Charles Beckwith, and we'll talk to you again next week.